I'm Eli Manning.
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to this special edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. This past season, the Giants celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl XXV New York Giants, the team that knocked off the Buffalo Bills, a team that started off red hot, 10-0. You all know about Bill Parcells and the star players on that team. But Coach Parcells had a recipe to his success. He had an outstanding staff. Over the next half hour, we'll take a look at the coaching staff from that 1990 team.
The 1990 Super Bowl champion New York Giants were a deep and talented team. And that was true not only for the players, but the coaching staff as well. Five assistants on Bill Parcells' 1990 staff would go on to become head coaches in the NFL. Longtime offensive coordinator Ron Erhardt had been head coach in New England before joining the Giants and won a Super Bowl in 1986 with Bill Parcells. Defensive coordinator and future Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was also on the 1986 staff, and he too was looking for his second Super Bowl ring. Al Groh coached the linebackers and would later become the Jets head coach. Romeo Crennel, who would go on to lead the Browns and Chiefs, coached the defensive line, and future Giants head coach Ray Hanley coached the running backs. And in his third year with the Giants was a young wide receivers coach named Tom Coughlin. And the entire coaching staff challenged each other to make the team get better.
Bill had the secondary, and I had the receivers. And throughout training camp, I can still hear Parcells, "You two want one-on-ones again?" You know, throughout training camp, we constantly were working with each other, trying to make each other better. We had a good football team. They had just won it in 86. The strike was in 87. I came in 88. We got knocked out of the playoffs in the 16th game of the season. The following year, we made it to the playoffs. We were continuing to build our football team, and we were getting better. And we had different pieces that came into the puzzle as well. So we started out the 1990 season 10-0.
Look, it's going to be the same thing to the open side now on third down. You're going to get a guy in a flat and then two guys crisscrossing, you know, however they match the thing up.
Big rush. Steps up and throws. Intercepted to the 20, to the 15. And he's going to score. Everson Wall.
No field goal, and we're going to go return 237.
He might go. One man to stop the kicker. He's by the kicker. He'll score.
I tell you, I wish that Sims had just come out there and get hot. Hit about eight in a damn row.
Yeah. That's going to be tough on him tonight.
We can do something against these guys.
Sam looking for a target. Rolly's right. He's going long, way down deep. It is complete to Ingram. Touchdown.
Here we go. 3 seconds to go. The ball spotted at the 30. It's long. It goes up. It's got the distance. It's good.
No time on the clock. The Giants win it and remain undefeated, Jimmy. What a game.
But after the 10-0 start, the Giants would lose three of their last six games. But more importantly, they would also lose their starting quarterback.
Sims is down and getting up slowly. Sims is starting to limp off the field here. It's a first down for the Giants. Now we'll get Jeff Hostetler.
When we ran out to 10-0 and then finished 3-3, people began to write, well, maybe they're a little bit old. Maybe they, you know. No, the determination, the way we practice, the way we work, the ability to keep our priorities in order with this veteran team.
After the 10-0 and taking a couple beatings and then everybody getting hurt, the Giants went off the radar screen. I don't want to say it was a blessing, because it wasn't a blessing to lose your starting quarterback, but that group of guys, they just responded like they always did. Oh, yeah, well, we'll see about it. And that's what happened. We did see about it.
They stuck a fork in us and said we were done.
Hey, San Francisco, they're back. We're back.
They're back.
Heading into the NFC Championship game, the Giants knew that the odds were stacked against them.
And so going out there, of course, they were given the advantage because they were the home team and it was the playoffs and they were the 49ers and they were two-time Super Bowl champions. But we had a good football team, too.
But it was a rivalry in philosophies. The Giants were the antithesis of the 49ers. We wanted to be tough and physical and win one-on-one battles.
That's a way to gamble in that, too, okay? Keep hammering them. Keep hammering those outside receivers.
And they wanted to get into a spatial game and a pass the score.
Throws medium. Complete for a big break. The tail end of the 30. Puts 25 to 20. 15. He'll score.
But we felt like we were the tougher, more physical team, and that's the way we wanted to play the game.
And in the fourth quarter, New York took their physical game to a whole other level.
But chased out, finally hit from behind. The ball's loose.
Leonard Marshall's devastating hit on Joe Montana knocked him out of the game. And although the Giants' ensuing drive would stall, head coach Bill Parcells would orchestrate a much-needed jump start.
Fourth and two, and they'll have to punt.
You always have to find ways to win ballgames. And Parcells, you know, he had something in his bag that he knew that could potentially work for us there. I always would run by Parcells onto the field in a fourth down situation. So this time I run by him, and he's looking straight at the field, and I run by him, and he says, use it if it's there.
It's fake punt. Gary Reasons was our fullback. We have it ready, but eventually got enough guts to call it.
Fake punt, and it's going to work. It's Reasons. Reasons streaking down to inside the 25. First down and much, much more.
That's the call they needed. That's the play they needed. They needed something to get them out of this. Bill Parcells came up with it.
The element of surprise is a great advantage. I've always told my players, I'm going to do everything I think gives us the best chance to win.
Matt Barr's fourth field goal of the game made the score 13-12.
And it's a one-point game.
Steve Young came in, needing only two first downs to run out the clock. But the Giants' defense once again came up with a big play.
We talk all year long about turnovers and work on different drills of, you know, pulling the ball out, punching it out, and stripping the quarterback, and stripping the running back, and fumble recovery drills and all that. And we get to the last 5 minutes of the game, and, you know, we're talking there on the sideline saying, look, we got to get the ball, and if we get the opportunity, and who knows whether it's going to be from the front, from the side, from the back, or, you know, which technique, but, you know, just that mentality, and we got it.
Yep, behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball.
So it was a very opportunistic play by our defense. Those are the kind of plays we want to remember ourselves as, and that game really was in the biggest game. It was, you know, one of the biggest plays.
Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball.
And you knew that the Giants were going for it, and that's what Bill Parcells is saying. Yep, we need it.
Jeff Hostetler returned to the game, miraculously showing no ill effects from his injury. And as the seconds ticked away, he steadily marched his team down the field to set up the winning score.
Hostetler's trying to pass, runs away from trouble, turns upfield, runs to the sideline and throws on the run, and completes the ball.
Quite frankly, I thought at one point in time of going for a play action, try to score a touchdown. It crossed my mind, and Ron Earhart and I talked about it very briefly. I remember Ron saying, just keep it in the middle, Bill. This kid will make it.
Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap. Spot. Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good. Good.
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
He was a game kicker. And no matter how it had gone before, he was one of those guys that when he walked on the field, he had the team's confidence, and he came through.
Ever had a moment like this in your life?
Greatest game I've ever coached in. Maybe not the most aesthetically pleasing to the eye, but to me, it was bliss. Plane ride from there to Tampa was the most memorable trip that I've ever been on. So it was such a celebration. The players so happy.
We're going to Tampa Bay!
Here's Coach Bill Belichick, engineer of the defense. Can you say something? Say hi to the family.
Say hi. Say going to Tampa to win.
It's exciting. It's fun. It's a lot of hard work and effort. You bust your ass to get to this point, and if you do that, then the rewards will come.
Coach Earhart, please, a few words to the family.
How are you tonight? Love. Happy?
I'm just happy to be on this flight to Tampa Bay. On the way, we're going to eat some buffalo meat and get another ring. Number two.
Happy New Year, guys. We're going to the show.
And giant football in the Super Bowl. The crowd on its feet, tens of thousands of those small American flags being raised.
There were a lot of flags in the stadium that day, and that was in support of our servicemen and women across the world.
If you remember, it was Desert Storm. It was a tense time. When you stood in the press box and you saw the armed soldiers right outside the press box, a helicopter gunship was hovering, you know, there over the stadium, and you began to really wonder about, you know what, gee, should I really have my entire family here? However, it was the Super Bowl. All the precautions had been taken, and the build-up to the game was sensational. It's something you'll never forget. Whitney Houston, I mean, I describe it as my goosebumps had goosebumps. What she sung was just, whoa.
Gentlemen, the NFC champion New York Giants.
I remember Bill Belichick and myself talking about the pace, how we had to do a better job with the pace of the game because we had to do some things to try to slow that pace a little bit.
The Buffalo Bills were one of the most prolific offenses of all time. Jim Kelly at the quarterback position, the points they scored, the Thurman Thomas as the runner. I mean, they were exceptional.
Thurman Thomas is a great back. We knew he was going to get some yards. But I didn't feel like we wanted to get into a game where they threw the ball 45 times. I mean, our base defense was cover two. And the theory in cover two is jam the outside receivers, get two safeties deep in the middle, and let them throw it inside. And are they going to catch them? Sure, but Pepper and Carl and Lawrence and those guys, that's what they live for. Good, you can catch for 4 or 5 yards, but you're going to pay the price. And that's the way we wanted to play and just try to make it a more physical game.
And the offense would take its cue from the defense with a grind-it-out, smash-mouth-style game plan.
Ron Earhart come over and sit down next to me. He said, we're going to run you. I need you to give me all you got. We're going to just wear them down. So, like, just go ram the ball up there, giggy, you know. And that's what our plan was.
But late in the first half, with New York trailing 12-3, the Giants would add a little lightning to their thunder.
We drove the ball down. We started to get in position. Stephen Baker had done a great job throughout the year. Anytime you pressed him, he's so quick that he beats you.
Third down, 10 at the 14, 30 seconds remaining in the half.
The inside released, he made a great stick, and he caught what amounts to a corner route up in the corner of the end zone for the big score.
Throws end zone, touchdown, Baker!
We mentioned it was gut check time, and these Giants just passed that gut check. Came down and scored 7 when they needed it.
Incredibly important. We went into the halftime, we had come off of a score, which always gives you a little boost of confidence.
Anderson again. Anderson into Buffalo territory.
Mark Kelso comes in to make the hit. Look at him wind up. I mean, that is a punishing job of running.
We ran the ball. We did it with purpose. We did it with determination. But it was the pounding. It was our offensive line against a very good Bills defense, but our ability to keep the football, keep the clock running. We held the ball for 41 and a half minutes. And when they had the ball, they had to do something very quickly with it. And when we stopped them and took the ball back, we held it again.
And on the opening possession of the second half, the Giants would need a big play to keep their drive alive.
We had had a little bit of success with a shallow, what we called a shallow route, with Ingram, the underneath receiver, at 5 to 6 yards, and then someone over the top. So we called this play again.
Hostetler has the ball, and the snap goes complete. He's got Ingram for maybe a first down. He'll try to the 20. Yes, he got it. What effort. What effort.
He broke at least 5 tackles in getting that first down. And I remember saying to Mark Ingram himself after the game, in my opinion, that was the greatest non-scoring play in Super Bowl history up to that point, and I really believe that.
The Giants continue their methodical march down the field in one of the most dominant drives in Super Bowl history.
This is a tremendous drive by the New York Giants. This is a championship drive. Look at that, over 9 minutes. This is a Super Bowl drive.
Second and goal at the one. The Bills have not had the ball in the second half. Touchdown, Anderson.
I like those 9 and 10 minute drives. That is sustained execution, sustained mental concentration. You know how hard that is to do for 20 straight minutes? Well, that's what they did. Going in at the half and coming out to start the third quarter. That's why they call them champs.
After stifling the Bills' high-octane offense and dominating the time of possession for most of the game, the Giants held a 17-12 lead. But on the very first play of the fourth quarter, Buffalo would break loose.
Gives to Thomas. And Thurman breaking tackles at the 22, inside the 10, touchdown Buffalo. And with 14:52 to play, Buffalo leads by 2.
There was tremendous sense of getting it done, of finishing the job at hand.
And as they had done all game, the Giants would show their resilience by marching down the field with one more championship drive.
3rd and 7 at the 26, Bills by 2, 13:56 to play. And Hostetler throws, and it's caught by Favaro for a big first down to the 43.
He is a money player, Mark Favaro, and...
With the help of his veteran tight end, Hostetler would continue to drive Big Blue down the field, setting up the Giants' reliable kicker, Matt Barr, for yet another potential game-winning score.
Giants trying to take the lead on a Barr field goal from 21 yards. Barr's kick is good, and New York once again has the lead. It's the fourth lead change in the game.
In one of the greatest Super Bowls ever played, Buffalo would counter with a final drive of their own, putting their kicker, Scott Norwood, in position to win the game.
They're lining up to kick this field goal, and I'm saying to myself, you know, it would be a shame if we lose this game, because we outplayed them so badly, and still had an opportunity, to their credit, to win.
Now Norwood tries to kick his longest ever on grass, 47 yards.
There's nothing easy about a 47-yard field goal now. Everybody's on their feet. You can see the Giant players kneeling on the sideline, holding hands, you know.
And we saw this scene last week for the Giants, huddling, some of them refusing to look.
He got it away, and it was a strong kick. It was plenty long enough. It just faded to the right and never came back in.
In the air, got the distance, it is. No good!
No good! Wide right.
That was really satisfying to win with that. After losing your quarterback, everybody said you can't win without your starting quarterback. Well, Jeff Hostetler proved that wrong.
The thing about the 90 team was that team played well. I don't know if it was the best team, but it played the best.
There was fight. There was determination. There was grit. There were all of those descriptive words to describe the 1990 Super Bowl 25 world champions.
Obviously, Bill Belichick, the defensive coordinator, left the Giants after that Super Bowl win. went to Cleveland and had some success with the Browns, and obviously went on to the Patriots and has won 4 Super Bowl championships. And all those coaches on that staff went on to have huge success wherever else they went. Key recipe and key components to that 1990 Super Bowl win. That wraps it up for this special edition of Giants Access Blue. I'm Bob Popple. We'll see you again next week, everybody.
Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.